Hey everyone, welcome to Off the Record. I'm Andres, and in this episode, I have three thoughts to share with you. Normally, I only do one, but I got three thoughts that I want to go over and share with you all, just because I don't think I'll get a chance to go over all of them sometime later. So I'm going to try not to be long-winded. I'm going to try to keep it as brief as possible for each thought, and let's just keep this rolling along. So first things first, because particularly over the weekend, there was a lot of jubilation, celebration, and all that, and I'm wondering what happened. Was COVID over or something like that? Because it pretty much looked like COVID was over, only to find out that the media was calling the election. And I'm like, really? But the counting's still going on. So as of this video, Monday, November 9th, no, the election's still not over. It's a perpetual Groundhog election day, if you will. So until it's over, it'll be over. So it's along those lines that I want to share my first thought, that voting irregularities, it goes without saying. And for those of you that have been in tune to my program since I really launched Off the Record earlier in 2020, none of this will come as a surprise to you. First off, when it comes to all the lockdown, the calamity, the riots and all that, I predicted all of that back in mid-March of this year, which is something I kept saying, I hope I'm wrong. To which I ended up doing an episode called, I told you so, because, well, I did tell you so. And I don't like saying I told you so, but this year I've had a lot more, what you would say, I don't want to say pride. I'm like, oh, see, I told you, I'm so smart. No, not at all. It's just that for the life of me that I've been involved in political commentating, analysis, and to some extent activism, I was always told that whatever I believed in or chimed in was my opinion, because that's all anybody would ever resort to when they didn't have the facts to back up their point. And they would come at me with feelings, I would present my fact-based opinion, or just present the facts, pretty much. And when they had nothing else to respond, they would say, oh yeah, you know, Andres, that's just your opinion. Well, yeah, I'm right. When you see things for what they are, you gotta learn to separate your feelings so you can see facts. But we live in a time of diluted attention spans where people will just read a headline, and now that's become like the art form. If you can get a headline, you can get a meme, someone's gonna get the entire revelation of an article or scientific study through that. And that's what's been unfortunate. Algorithms they feed off that, and people just scroll right through. They just read the headline. You know, just one major thing that's a big gripe to me, and I'll get to big tech later. That's my second thought. But this one, I really bothers me that people, when they're scrolling on Instagram, they will not read the caption on the picture unless the caption is in the picture. Or even worse, if there's a picture and the caption is actually a freaking essay someone wrote or like some insightful thing, they're gonna skim over it unless they screenshot the text and put it with the picture slide. So they'll slide through the pictures and they'll read all the text on the picture, but they won't read it just to hit the show more on the Instagram post. So it's somehow easier to swipe instead of tap to read more, and you still scroll, whatever. Anyway, that's one of my major gripes in all this, is just pretty stupid. But that's really what we're all up against. So we are trying to get the attention of people that are like, well, no, that's not true. Like, why? Because you scroll through it? No. So whatever happened with the election thus far is no surprise. It's something that I also been covering. I mean, the president even mentioned that was his main concern, that this might happen. We want an open and free, fair election. I, on the other hand, along with perhaps if you follow Michael Knowles, you've probably seen this from him, where he called it out back in October, and I called it out sometime back in the summer too. So for my followers, none of this was a surprise to you, but because a lot of followers I know, thanks to some analytics when they allow me to see it, the big tech giants, it's also that I know not everybody got my news ahead of time. So right before the election, I started posting videos all over the place, not anything to do with my show. I just started just sharing stuff like across the socials that I'm a part of, with the exception of Parler, because I don't know my people, my family, friends that have jumped over to there just yet. And some of them already are. So I'm like, hey, welcome to the party. So anyway, So I was doing that as vaguely as I could to not trigger the sensors over like on the big text. And some people saw it there for the first time, and then everything else played out. So I'm like, hey, didn't I tell you so? And some of them were like, hmm. And now other people are asking me now, like, hey, what do you think is going to happen next? So that's what got me to basically make this episode public on YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube, it's because for the first time, I'm letting you in on to what Off the Record is. This is what I do on my website, www.theandresegovia.com. And now you're probably finding out as to why. Because this is the kind of stuff that the big tech giants either strike, fact check, or label misinformation or whatever, just because it's a different perspective than the one they agree with. And it goes against the narrative that they're trying to establish. Now, I'm not going to try to get into the nitty-gritty of a lot of things that have been happening. That goes without saying for a lot of us that are in the know. And if you're not in the know, I've already covered it, so I don't want to tread over territory already discussed. So I would recommend that you check out those episodes at my website. But my thoughts overall about what's been going on is it's not over. So I'm just laying back and just waiting for all this to play out. So for all of you that were out there celebrating about what's been going on, I'm like, well, it's the example of what the media has been doing to you all year long. Let me take that back. Not just this administration. They've been doing this for as long as I can remember. I got involved in politics after I graduated from high school. And I would say about the time I entered college. That was spring 2003, and I met a professor at my local community college who was the great influence on me at a community college of all things. He never spoke up about his political ideas or whatever. He just always challenged people at as an unbiased perspective and told people to think for themselves, which should have been like a dog whistle to me to understand that that's code speak for someone that's also conservative, because we tend to be more neutral than the other party. But what ended up happening was that I was introduced to a book called Bias by Bernie Goldberg. And that's actually a book that I recently did on my Reading Corner segment, which is the book club of my show. I have a bunch of shows that I do on my website. They're exclusive to my website. It's my content that I like to share with people. And it's only there just to protect my stuff. But for now, you can go check it out. You don't need to register for an account. It's free anyway, but you don't have to register for the account, and you can go check it out. So the Reading Corner, I discussed this book in depth. So I'm not going to go over it here in this one, but it's the one that began my political awakening. And it harkened back to the time that I was a kid and my dad would try to share news and articles with me. Like, I would not pay attention to them. And one day he scolded me. It was like 1996, about how close there was an incident that could have plunged the world into another nuclear war. So I'm like, huh. But hey, I was a kid. What did I know? But my dad always tried to instill that in me. So when I finally had my great political awakening, if you will, I noticed that everybody else around me didn't care about politics. All they cared about was about. The only voting they cared about was American Idol, because I liked the big thing at the time. Well, that's what inspired me to start doing a newsletter of sorts. And what you see behind me in my book, The Andres Segovia Show, Transcripts of the Early Days, is a compilation of everything that I did in terms of that newsletter, which morphed into some kind of interaction with subscribers that I basically transformed into what I envisioned one day doing, being a talk radio host. So I had great influences on my life, and I modeled my book after basically radio transcripts of a political talk show, complete with breaks and all these different things, using the terminology and all that. But I didn't have a radio platform at the time. This was before blogs were really a thing, and it was before podcasting. So when I did that, it was email subscriptions and all that. And as I was interacting with people, I would introduce a segment in one email to then ask questions or invite people to ask questions or give comments, to which then they will respond with an email, which I would then incorporate into my next email so I could let everybody know which an individual is chiming in. So overall, I had about anywhere from 80 to 100 active subscribers, which was pretty cool. But then they shared it with somebody else. Back then, chain letters were a big thing. But this one was really interesting to me because I ended up getting readers throughout the world. So just some lonely guy on a little keyboard thing it wasn't even a computer. It was like a literal email machine called MailStation. So I would use this to email but we couldn't afford a computer back in the days, and it's those that had email would chime in and all this stuff. So as technology evolved a little more and people were actually spreading what I had to say, because I was inviting people to share my show with people, I was read in Latin America, I was read in Europe, East Asia, and one of the most important things to me, because every now and then, especially back then when there was a lot of hot topics in the Middle East, I even got reached out through a third party from people within Iran, because they said they never heard a perspective like that, and it was being shared by someone else that was a friend of mine, and that was half Iranian. So it was great to have interactions with people. And that went away after some time, because I don't have that kind of time to do that anymore. Then I, college, university, ultimately get a full-time job, getting married and all that. So I didn't get the attention to do all of that that I wanted. But when, as a real estate broker, and I do multiple other things too, not just in real estate, I decided to resurrect the show. But it was more in line to help people to do the things that I know what to do and what I do professionally. So this became the Just to Go Over Show podcast became a way for me to basically extend myself to people to be able to help them, and I have, and which has been great to do. But this year it's morphed a little bit, where I think people were just like tuning in the one time, and if I helped them and then they went on their merry way, it's like, no, I wanted them to be informed. This is an active thing that happens, because once you become a homeowner, you're constantly under attack by the state or the federal government, depending on how they pass tax laws and how they protect your private property, if at all, particularly the state and local counties. So I ended up doing a lot of property owner advisories, you could say, and things like that. And when we have a political climate, there's normally propositions that are introduced to affect property ownership. So lately I've been protecting people's property ownership and keeping them up to date as much as I can, particularly locally and state level here in California, so they can be aware of what they can anticipate. But one thing that's always been on me, like there's always Harvard, is that I never stopped being a political analyst and commentator. It's just that I just didn't find it prudent for me to be as much out there and compromise whatever I had established. But this year, and I tried various content a little bit here and there, I've been getting a lot more attention because of what I've been bringing up whenever I could. That was a fair game on the main show. But when it comes to off the record, it's where I invite, look, if you don't want to talk about politics, that's why I keep it out of that. But I talk about anything that deals with economic policy that affects real estate. And a lot of times people will misconstrue that to be political. And I say, well, it's not political when it's actually affecting you. But some people will still chalk it up to politics. And then it affects them and then they complain. It's like, well, I'm sorry you didn't pay attention then. But those are discussions that are fair game. But not everybody wants to talk about politics, which is why I respect that boundary and invite people to come over here to off the record, because this is where I get to rail, rant, or whatever, talk about anything and that it interests me, and I just spew it out. And for those that really care about, they'll chime in or they'll check it out for themselves. And for those that have been doing so, thank you, by the way, they would know that, holy smokes, Andres has been basically talking about this for the whole year, and now that it's happening and everybody's surprised, they're really like, dude, you've been spot on. It's like, yeah, that's why I'm calm. Dude, it didn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me, especially because it's 2020. So the media is going to lie and lie about what the right-wingers might do if Trump doesn't concede. Well, it's not over until it's over. So once it's over, and fine, it's legit that Trump did not win, and he said he'll concede, which I fully intend him to. The majority of the American people have spoken. Then, okay. Then all us conservatives and those that voted for Trump, all we can do is prepare for what comes next. So what comes next? We gotta make sure the coalition is set to reelect in that runoff Senate case, or the two seats in Georgia, to make sure that the Republicans win so they can hold on to the Senate. Because the Republicans gained a lot of seats in the House of Representatives, which is why the Democrats aren't happy. Not to mention that they don't like what's happened with the judicial branch. So when we have two branches of government that can be checks and balances towards a Harris-Biden administration, there's no Freudian slip there, Harris-Biden administration, that's what you're really looking at for why the Democrats aren't happy. They were expecting to get a super liberal majority across all three branches so then they could pass their wish list of all socialist things. And they're not getting their way in that sense. But January is going to be a very interesting thing. So if you think 2020 is bad, just wait until what happens with 2021 should things not go America's way. And yes, I did say America's way. But for someone like me, which is leading on to my second thought, this is why I said, all right, I'll accept it. It's because that's what happened, so long as it's legit, okay? I'm not going to be complaining, oh, it was illegitimate. If we can let all the legal process play out, let's weed it out. And of course, there'll always be like a thing here or there, but I'm not going to say, let's open investigations for 3.5 years to delegitimize them, and then like, man, what a... I'm not a Democrat. Not those kind of current Democrats. Not all Democrats are like that. But anyway, so that's what I wanted to say, which leads me on to the second thought, which feeds on to the third thought that I'll wrap this all up with, okay? I'm trying not to be long-winded here, and I'm sorry if it's longer than you might like, but this is off the record. I get to do what I want, but thank you for joining me along the way. So my second thought has to do with what big tech has been doing. Big tech, along with mainstream media, they basically control the narrative of everything if you give them that power. You know, Michael Savage, you're familiar with him, the Savage Nation. I was not an active listener of his, but I do have some several books of his, but I was never an active listener or participant in his radio program when it was on the air. One thing though that I did like what he said early on when I first listened to him, he said he called the American people the American sheeple. And this was like 15 years ago when I first heard of Michael Savage. And I'm like, dude, that is so true. It couldn't be more true today. Because back then, social media wasn't the next branch of propaganda that the mainstream media was. But now you have two branches, and with the whole lockdown situation, what has happened ultimately has been a 1984 style control of people, because they get to control everything now. It's like, well, you're going to be glued to your phone or your computer or your TV, so now we get to control everything. I did an episode called Social Media Distancing to address just that. It's like, oh, it looks like social media is fun again, and it only took one day to find out why you stayed off it in the first place. But since most people were only able to communicate through that, they started to see for a fact like how that was going to influence. And for anybody that's been in the know, now I don't want to name drop someone that runs a place that starts with info and then ends with wars, then you would know what to anticipate this time, because they called it 4 years ago. And Tucker Carlson about a month ago put it up on some of the confidential meetings that these big tech companies had after the previous election about what they intended to do to make sure that the next election did not go the way of the incumbent. So all that stuff is to say why, not surprised. But the fact that big tech censorship has become the next thing for conservatives to challenge against, because before it was the Democrat Party with the Fairness Doctrine and the power of the news media to influence support for that ideology, and not to mention Hollywood. Now we have big tech, which is the other big wing that has considerable more influence because everybody agreed to the terms and conditions of it, not realizing that they basically gave up their firstborn or their arm and a leg. And I knew that because I actually read the thing. I'm like, oh my goodness, Will, whatever, fine. Because what else is there? And with Jack Dorsey to say, for Jack Dorsey to say, it's like, well, they don't have to use Twitter to get the information. It's like, well, how would they know to get the information if you're blocking the flow of information? Because you selectively block what you don't want and don't like. How coincidental that all the glitches basically strike down stories that could harm the blue team. So with all that being said, which is why I ended up joining Parler back on June, but I wasn't active. I didn't really care. At the same time, like, I don't want to be in an echo chamber either. But I did notice that there have been some exchanges of ideas of briefly, but in Parler. But the past week, I have not been able to get into my Parler account because of the influx of new accounts. Like, holy smokes, what's going on here? So I would get an average of about 200 impressions on any original content that I would put up on Parler, like original posts. If I put a meme and stuff like that, that would get a lot more play. Before all this, there was about my number one meme was basically like a retweet or sharing someone else's coffee meme. I create my own memes, or I create some or I share some ones that I like, and I give credit for where I get it from if I can source it. So that I shared a coffee meme and it got about 2,000 plays at least. I'm like, wow, man, that's awesome. That means that many people checked out my profile at least. You know, I don't know that all those details, the analytics are not as deep as that, but the mere fact that it drew that much attention meant something. I decided to do a test. I took a post that I had put on Parler just over a week ago, almost 2 weeks ago, which got about 120 impressions. I retweeted it, as would be the more popular way to say it, but in that one it's called echo, to echo my own post, basically it's a retweet on Parler over last night after this, as of this video. And I have over 2,000 impressions. Like, there is a lot of activity here. And it has a lot more to do with Twexit and deleting Facebook. And I knew that, that might happen. So I'm like, you know what? That's why I wanted to place a stake in the claim over here so I can make some kind of establish myself here in case of, you know, influx of things. But what interests me even more is that I post on some type of schedule what I like to post on thematic things when it comes to sharing motivational, demotivational, coffee memes and stuff like that on a daily basis from Monday through Friday. The same posts that I put on Parler, I post on Instagram, and mostly on Instagram because where I engage with the more active audience members. I would probably get as most as between 20 or 30 views on one post on Instagram with a hashtag. That same hashtag on Parler today has netted me hundreds. The reason I bring that up is because in the past few weeks, Instagram has not even been including my stories with the hashtags anymore. And I'm not even being political over there because I always knew, tread lightly because this is Facebook. Well, the mere fact that they throttle me just because of like one or two like off-the-cuff comments or just posts, it's not even meant to be like anything salacious. It's just a tongue-in-cheek expression, or it could even be a meme. It's enough to punish. So I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I didn't want to get involved over the weekend. I knew it was going to happen. So I'm like, you know what? I signed off on Friday, as I typically do. Sign in back on Monday. What happened? What I missed? And it's like, well, the world continues. People are celebrating like something happened. I'm like, nothing's happened yet. So, okay, just keep going about living your life. And because of that, I've been preparing, and people have been chiming in and asking me about Parler and jumping on that. It's like, okay, cool. My concern is that it's not even the be-all, end-all when it comes to Parler either. Because I do believe that with enough pressure, people tend to bend the knee. So it's only a matter of time. Well, we'll see this play out. But it would be interesting to see what might play out should the vote not go Trump's way. Then if all plays out, what Parler might mean in the long run, particularly as a Democrat-controlled White House might want to install the Fairness Doctrine, will continue to want to limit the First Amendment, get rid of the Second Amendment, and just continue pushing the Marxist agenda on the United States of America. Lady Gaga said she wanted to vote for America. That's why she's voting for Biden. And last I checked, everything they're doing is to dismantle the system they say they're voting for. So I don't know what they're talking about. Like, actually, I do. But anyway, that's just, you know, sarcasm. Anyway, besides that, that's why I'm doing this episode of Off the Record publicly for those of you that are watching along, if you are watching or able to watch, because I've been shadow banned in certain cases. This is why I don't get as involved, and which is why I invite you over to Off the Record. Because this is the kind of content that I do in more digestible episodes, not as lengthy as this. But I'm sharing three thoughts instead of one. So you basically, it's a threefer. You're getting three episodes for the price of one, which is free. So with all that being said, if for some reason things start disappearing or whatever, that would be why. The continued big tech censorship, because they have censored me on Facebook. They throttled my page whenever I try to mention some things, or they outright block some of them. YouTube is demonetized and sometimes shadow banned some of my live streams just because I happen to mention a word I shouldn't mention, and it has nothing to do with cussing. What's the other one? Instagram, which is Facebook. So, and Twitter, don't even bother. They're the worst of the worst. So, yeah. So that's what's been up. And with all that is where I springboard to my third thought. I will continue doing what I do, and I will continue doing it on my website as I have been doing. So that's why I invite all of you to come check it out. I'm not asking anybody to register or whatever, at least not at the moment, for the next 2 months. I'll leave the registration not required, so you can check out my content. I do a lot of different content that I personally love, and I'm just sharing of myself with you all. At the core of it, I am helping you financial plan for your future, how you can better prepare yourself regardless of what's going on with the rest of the world. The number one person you gotta take care of yourself, because nobody else will, is yourself. And the only one that can do that for you is yourself. Don't depend on the government to do it for you. Don't depend on investments for I've been told that I was gonna get this kind of money with my Social Security. It's still something government based. They're not gonna take care of you. Only you can take care of yourself. Personal responsibility, which apparently now is a racist expression, according to whoever that person was. I forget the name. Anyway, with all that being said, that's what I do when it comes to real estate, to be able to help individuals. And you can find real estate resources available at my website, www.theandrewsegovia.com and segoviares.com, particularly that one because where it's all real estate related. But with all that being said, I also try to do self-help. And that's kind of what Instagram is, like, where it's kind of behind the scenes of what goes on. And I want to be able to help and encourage people. And that's one way for you to get to know me better, because you get the human face behind this. Behind the real estate broker and all that. Because, yeah, we are human. We're all at the core. Punch me, I bleed, to borrow a phrase from Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. But with all that being said, it's also a place where I feel safe to share things that normally I otherwise won't be able to share anywhere else. And unfortunately, because of algorithms, my voice isn't getting out there. And I'm not even going to try to push even harder right now, because big tech is really clamping down on all that. That's why this is the only episode I'm leaving up for now, because I don't know what big tech's gonna do with it. But it's my encouragement to you to come check out my stuff. I'm sorry if it's really hard for you, and I don't say this like insulting or anything, but if it's really hard for you to try to go to my website because it takes too long to punch a URL, there's links available in the video description down below. But unfortunately, I can't bring information to you because the algorithms won't bring them to you. So if you want true information, such as how to make sense of everything that's going on besides what the mainstream media is saying, you got to do a little bit of legwork on your own, which is what you should be doing. Don't just be spoon-fed these lies or misinformation that passes off as news when it's someone else's opinion or wishful thinking. You got to rise above all that. Don't let this become Orwellian, because it's on you. It's incumbent on you to be able to break free. You know, I find it interesting that as soon as the Republicans or conservatives started using the expression red pill, it's a Matrix reference, suddenly the Wachowski siblings, because they're no longer Wachowski brothers, started saying, oh yeah, the Matrix was a trans allegory. I know why you said that. You could have said it back when the trans rights was really becoming a thing, but you said it now to discourage conservatives from using that expression. Well, it didn't work, because you never told anybody that all these years later. And they're like, oh yeah, I knew that. No, you didn't. None of you knew that. You're just saying that to make us shy away from using the red pill expression. Well, I'm not shying away from that. I invite you to also get red-pilled. And I don't mean like, oh, that means the Republican Party. Absolutely not. That means wake up. Because I got to tell you, and this is my closing thoughts. I got to tell you, the Republican establishment has lost 3 elections so far. Not counting this one. They lost 3 elections. McCain, establishment. Mitt Romney, even worse of the establishment. And every, except Rick Santorum, almost every single Republican establishment nominee or candidate that ran against Trump. The Republican establishment has also been the one trying to remove Trump from power. And those in the Republican establishment are the ones telling Trump to concede now, because they're only looking after their own interests for 2024. So that is why I say it's not about a Republican thing. Because I have not enjoyed being a Republican for a long time. And I'm not afraid to express this. Trump has made me happy to be Republican again. To return to his roots. The Constitution. Not feelings. Facts over feelings. So that's the long and short of it. So, the election's not over. Big tech is cracking down. And I'm inviting you to Off the Record. My episodes aren't usually this long. And because of how fast and furious content might be having to be done, they're not all going to be videos. They're mostly audio. So please check out my website so you can check out my podcast whenever it's there. It's not on the schedule, but you check weekly, you'll find some things there. But anyway, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you on the next one.